The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على ختم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيد الأولين والآخرين إمام المتقين النبي المبعوث رحمة وهدى للعالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. Alhamdulillah, we're continuing to look at the 40 hadith Qudsi. And we've looked at a number of hadiths regarding the tremendousness of the reward of the hereafter and the tremendousness of the generosity of Allah, the tremendousness of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From that, the ulama tell us a simple principle, right? That taklif, التَكْلِيفُ تَشْرِيفُ, that moral responsibility is in reality a granting of honor. It's a granting of honor. Why? Because we can look at moral responsibility as a burden and a difficulty. We can look at the fact that we're accountable as being somehow a test, and that some will be punished. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity and the choice out of His complete grace to go from being fleeting beings that wink into existence and wink out to being lasting creatures, lasting in the grace and mercy of Allah. This is why Ibn Ata'illah says in his Hikam, أوجب عليك وجود طاعته وما أوجب عليك إلا دخول جنته. He has made it incumbent upon you to be in obedience to him, and in reality he has only made it incumbent upon you to enter his paradise. This from the words of one of the great imams of Islam, Ibn Ata'illah al-Sakandari. So we reached hadith number 19. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hadith فرغ الله تعالى من القضاء بين العباد يوم القيامة ويبقى رجل مقبل بوجهه على النار. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned in a hadith, right, regarding the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed judgment between the servants on the day of reckoning. وَيَبْقَى رَجُلٌ مُقْبِلٌ بِوَجْهِهِ عَلَى النَّارِ, and a man remained who is directed, who is facing the fire and directed towards it. وَهُوَ آخِرُ أهل الجنة دخولا الجنة, and this is the last person of the people of paradise who will enter paradise. This man will say, فيقول أي رب اصرف وجهي عن النار. This man will say, and he was a believer, but he'll be headed towards the fire, and he'll say, O Lord, turn my face away from the fire. فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ قَشَبَنِي رِيحُهَا وَأَخْرَقَنِي ذَكَاؤُهَا. For its wind has singed me, and its flames have burnt me. فَيَدْعُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى مَا شَاءَ. And he calls upon Allah Most High with what he willed, what was willed for him. And يَدْعُوا, right, of what was willed for him to call upon. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Then Allah Mighty and Exalted says, هَلْ عَسَيْتُ أَنْ فَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ بِكَ أَنْ تَسْأَلَ غيره فيقول لا أسأل غيره ويعطي ربه من عهود ومواثيق ما شاء الله فيصرف الله تعالى وجهه عن النار. So this man is directed to the fire, and he calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So he's already been judged that you will be punished in the fire, and he's directed towards the fire. But then he says, O Lord, turn my face from the fire, right? As we saw. And he called upon him. Then he says, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, am I not about, هَلْ عَسَيْتُ أَنْ فَعَلْتُ بِكَ أَنْ تَسْأَلَ غَيْرَهُ, right? That when I'm about to do this with you, would you call other than him, than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the servant says, لا, لا أسأل غيره. I would not ask other than Allah. Why is it mentioned in the third person? It's out of majesty. Right? Out of majesty. Would you ask other than him? It's out of majesty. Although the address is from Allah. وَيُعْطِ بِهِ مِنْ عُهُودٍ وَمَوَثِيقٍ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. And he gives covenants and pledges regarding that I would never call other than you. Right? MashaAllah, as Allah willed for him to give. What does this go back to? In the hereafter, we replay the realities of the sincerity of our faith in this life. So this was a servant who believed, but he had so many shortcomings. But he believed. Right? He believed. And he makes pledges. I would never call other than you. And he gives pledges and covenants that never, even if I'm about to be punished, I would not call other than you. فَيَصْرِفُ اللَّهُ وَجْهَهُ عَنِ النَّارِ. So Allah turns their face away from the fire. فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ. So then they were directed towards paradise. وَرَآهَا سَكَتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَسْكُتْ. He was silent for as long as Allah willed them to be silent. Silent in what? In awe and amazement. فَيَقُولْ أَيْ رَبِّ وَيَدْعُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ حَتَّى يَقُولَ لَهُ هَلْ عَسَيْتُ أَنْ أَعْطَيْتُكَ ذَلِكَ أَنْ تَسْأَلَ غَيْرَهُ. Then Allah Most High will address the servant. Would I, if I give you this, right? This referring to all that is before him of paradise, that would you ask other than him, other than Allah himself? The servant said, فَيَقُولُ لَا وَعِزَّتِكَ. No, by your honor, by your might. فَيُعْطِي رَبَّهُ مَا شَاءَ مِنْ عُهُودٍ وَمَوَاثِيقٍ. Right? And he gives his Lord what Allah willed of pledges and covenants regarding that, that I would not call upon you whether you were to punish me or whether you were to reward me. فَيُقَدِّمُهُ إِلَى بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. So Allah brings him, allows him to come to the door of paradise. فَإِذَا قَامَ عَلَى بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ What does it say? Sorry. فإذا قام على باب الجنة. So he gets to the door of paradise. The door, باب can refer to a door, but also it refers to a gate. Right? A gate. When it comes to paradise, they're really gates. Right? The cities had gates. And cities generally had four gates, one from each side. Right? And that's one of the meanings that's understood in the completely different context in the hadith that most of the hadith masters deem to be at least sound, the أنا مدينة العلم وعليٌ بابها, that I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its door. So Abu Mu'in al-Nasafi, in his work on Aqidah, says that this actually doesn't point to the superiority of Sayyidina Ali or the primacy of his Khilafah, but how many doors does a city have? It has four doors. وَعَلِيٌ بَابُهَا and Ali is a door of it, a door of the four doors. Right? Because every city would have at least four doors, right? One on each side. Because cities would be walled so that they're not attacked by marauders and others. Right? But they would have gates. So when he came to the gate of paradise, إن فهقت له الجنة فرأى ما فيها من الخير والسرور. So when he comes to the gate of paradise, paradise is disclosed to him, is made apparent to him. So he sees all that is in there of good and rejoicing. فيسكت ما شاء الله أن يسكت. So he is silent for as long as Allah willed him to be silent. Again, amazed. ثم يقول أي رب. And then the servant will say, and this is the last person who enters paradise, right? That all other believers have been taken to reckoning. Right? The last person. So, you know, presumably their bad deeds far exceed any good that they may have done. So the servant says, Ey Rab, adkhaltani al-jannah. He say, O Lord, you have made me enter paradise. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. So Allah, mighty and majestic, says, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ أَعْطَيْتَ عُهُودَكَ وَمَوَاثِيقَكَ أَنْ لَا تَسْأَلَ غَيْرَ مَا أَعْطَيْتَ وَيْلَكَ يَا ابْنَ آدَمَ مَا أَغْدَرَكَ. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressed by this servant that, O Lord, you made me enter paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, so Allah, mighty and majestic, says to him, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ أَعْطَيْتَ عُهُودَكَ وَمَوَثِيقَكَ. Have you not given your covenants and pledges that you not ask, أَنْ لَا تَسْأَلَ غَيْرَ مَا أَعْطَيْتَ, that you not ask for other than what I have given. Because he's expect each time he's asked Allah for more. So now I say, now you have paradise. So have you not pledged not to ask for other than what I have given? وَيْلَكَ يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ. Woe be upon you, O child of Adam. مَا أَغْدَرَكَ. How treacherous you are. It's as if the person said, well, can you give me more now? Or he could have been on the verge of now neglecting those pledges, just to remain conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? To remain grateful of Allah. Right? Because these are the tendencies of the human being, is to forget, to become heedless, to be an ingrate. The human being is Zaloom and Kafur. truly wronging and truly truly wronging and truly ungrateful. And we have to be aware of those things, right? Wronging is not generally not giving others their due, and ungrateful is not to recognize blessings, but to simply take them for granted. نسأل الله العافية. So, but this servant has been so touched by this amazing mercy. Says, فَيَقُولُ أَيْ رَبِّ لَا أَكُونُ أَشْقَى خَلْقِكَ. I won't be the most ruined of your creation. وَلَا يَزَالُ يَدْعُ اللَّهَ حَتَّى يَضْحَكُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى مِنْهُ. And he will continue to call upon Allah Most High. And he's at the doors of paradise, right? It's for you. But he continues to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Allah laughs at him. فَإِذَا ضَحِكَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ قَالَ أُدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will say, enter paradise. فَإِذَا دَخَلَهَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى تَمَنَّى. He says, wish. فيسأل ربه ويتمنى حتى أن الله عز وجل ليذكره من كذا وكذا. حتى إذا انقطعت به الأماني قال الله عز وجل ذلك لك ومثله معه. رواه الشيخان. So the servant enters paradise and there's all these things, right, of good, right, of khair, and of joy. When the servant enters, the servant, the last person to enter paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tamanna, wish. Wish meaning whatever you wish. So he asks Allah, فَيَسْأَلُ رَبَّهُ وَيَتَمَنَّ, and he continues wishing. And Allah reminds him of things to wish for. Right? حتى إن الله يذكره من كذا وكذا. He reminds him, well, you could wish for this and this. Right? Because he lost track of what he could wish for. So Allah reminds him. حتى إذا انقطعت به الأماني. Until he has no more wishes left. Everything he could have wished for, and Allah reminded him of much more. There's nothing more he can think about. So Allah subhanahu, Allah mighty and majestic says, لَكَ ذَلِكَ. That's all yours. وَمِثْلُهُ مَعَهُ. And the like of it with it. And the like of it with it. This is the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيد. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They shall have whatsoever they wish with their Lord. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. And with us is that which is far greater. But you are inspired to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter to the extent of what you aspired for in this life. And you're inspired to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life in accordance with what you aspired to in this life. And it's all pure joy. There's no sorrow in, but as Abu Madian says, شَتَّانَ مَا بَيْنَ مَنْ هَمُّهُ الْحُورُ وَالْقُصُورُ وَمَنْ هَمُّهُ رَفْعُ السُّتُورُ وَدَوَامُ الْحُضُورُ. Abu Madian summarizes, you know, essentializes this meaning in his aphorisms when he says, شَتَّان, what a tremendous difference between the one whose concern, whose ultimate concern. What do you want in the hereafter? I want the al-huru wal-qusur, the maidens of paradise and its castles. And because that's what they were worried about in this life. Yeah. Wife, family, you know, worldly beloveds, worldly possessions. And yeah, I believe, and I'll, you know, I'll get into paradise, stumble into paradise, and then What will you seek there? You'll seek the equivalent there, which is good. And that's what your consciousness was in this life will be amplified in the next, but that's the degree of your consciousness. But what a difference between that, and that's eternal joy. But what a difference between that, وَمَنْ هَمُّهُ رَفْعُ السُّتُورِ وَدَوَامُ الْحُضُورِ, whose concern is for the lifting of veils and constant presence. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, they shall have whatsoever they sought with their Lord. So it's like that, if paradise is the king's castle, some just want to get into the castle because outside is a flame. And they like the garden, they were safe. And we got food. What were they thinking about before they got to the palace, the castle? Food and drink and some rest and some pleasure. And the castle grounds are vast, and that they got that. So others wanted more. Others wanted to be in the king's, in the palace itself. But others wanted the king. Not just to be close to the king, they want the king himself. And they will not be granted any less. The one who eats with the king won't get less than the one who eats out in the garden. And the one who just wanted, you know, the beautiful fruits of the garden, do you think they eat better than the one who just thought, I want the king? Who will get the better meal? Incomparable. I mean, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. But part of what we learn from this is the power of tawheed. Right? That despite shortcomings, the most important meaning that must be instilled in our own consciousness, in our children, in people, is the unequivocal belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the unequivocal conviction of His mercy and His majesty. Right. And too often we emphasize too much on simply His lordship without recognizing that our understanding of lordship is enveloped by mercy. Rububiyya is cherishing, caring lordship. Right. That's one of the meanings understood from this. Another meaning understood from this hadith very clearly is the power of dua. The power of dua. That doesn't matter how often you have erred and slipped, nothing changes conditions like dua. Even with the person who was headed towards the fire. Right? مَتَ أَطْلَقَ لِسَانَكَ بِالطَّلَبِ فَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُعْطِيَكَ. Ibn Atta'i says, whenever he loosens your tongue to ask, know that he only willed to give you. So, loosen, right? Don't be so uptight, loosen up a little by asking Allah. And he'll only inspire you to ask. Okay? Even when Allah grants the person paradise, he's at the gate, so just enter. Right? But you're granted some wishes. When you enter paradise, you can ask for whatever you want. But you also see here in the hadith the importance that he made pledges and covenants. Uhuda wa mawathiq. Right? And an important thing to appreciate, right? And this is why one shouldn't pay attention to, you know, the random academics or other, you know, Sheikh al-Buti rahimahullah used to hate the term thinkers. That because the human being is a rational animal. To call someone a thinker, right? Or even like an intellectual. An intellectual, so you're saying you have an intellect that you can use. Well, basically, you're saying you're a human being. Unless you're saying you're not a complete fool, which is not a term of praise. So calling someone an Islamic thinker or an intellectual, Sheikh al-Buti would take some serious affront to both terms. Mufakkir Islami, Islamic thinker. And if you're a Muslim, so you think according to the guidance that you commit to. And you think because you're a human being. So basically, you're saying, I'm not an animal. Like, I'm not merely an animal. So it's not. But be careful, because they come up with all these theories about people being influenced by this and that, by pledges. All the terminology used by the great scholars of mainstream Islam in the various disciplines are deeply inspired by prophetic teaching, by the Quran itself, by prophetic teachings. So the importance of these covenants, these uhud, right, this is something that is important, that make those pledges now to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make those pledges now, those commitments. What are the commitments that one makes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, so one doesn't have to be retested in the hereafter? Imam Abdul Wahhab al-Sha'rani, like some others before him, he said, in reality, all the pledges we make with Allah are related to following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these pledges, okay, he has an amazing book called Al-Uhudul Muhammadiyya, the Muhammadan Covenants. That every guidance that Allah Most High commanded us to uphold, or everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded us to desist from, whether at the level of obligation or encouragement, prohibition or discouragement, each of them is a pledge. Each of them is ahd. And it's an amazing, amazing work. Each one begins, أخذ علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العهد أن, the Messenger of Allah took from us a covenant that, 1, 2, and 3. Right? So each sunnah is a covenant. And to the extent that you uphold those Muhammadan covenants, the covenant is taken with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ, those who pledge allegiance to you are only in reality pledging allegiance to Allah. So our following the Messenger, our taking on any sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, is accepting a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's Allah's pledge? And in Allah la yukhliful mi'ad, Allah does not renege on His pledge, is that He will reward you for it eternally. He will reward you for it eternally. Okay? So these pledges are very important, which is why one of the meanings of when we send blessings and peace upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, blessing, salah, is ar-rahmatul maqrunatu bit-ta'zim. It is divine mercy with veneration and honoring, exalting. But the salam, the peace, is eternal, unimaginable peace, but it is also an affirmation of a pledge with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when you say Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim, that, O Allah, put the heart of your Prophet ﷺ at rest regarding us, that we will uphold our pledge, our covenant with him. And that covenant with the Messenger has two levels. At one level, it's a covenant to follow him. Right? To follow him, right? Out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you love Allah, then follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, and Allah will love you. And until the meaning of loving Allah is rooted in our heart, the Prophet ﷺ is concerned about us. And until we uphold that meaning in our own life, the Prophet ﷺ is worried about us. Because until then, we fall short of being beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ is not at rest regarding any of us until we are beloved to Allah. Right? But that's just one half of the pledge with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other half of the pledge with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with respect to his ummah. That, O Messenger of Allah, be at rest, that we will fulfill your concern with respect to your ummah in calling to Allah through knowledge and da'wah and service and example. So this is a pledge that we make with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is mentioned by many of the great imams, amongst them Imam Abdul Wahhab al-Sha'rani and others, And this meaning was mentioned very beautifully by Sheikh Muhammad al-Hashimi al-Tilimsani, the teacher of Sheikh Abd al-Rahman al-Shahuri, in his brilliant work on Islamic beliefs called Miftah al-Jannah, the key to paradise, fi bayani aqaidi ahli sunnah, in explaining the beliefs of ahli sunnah. So this is a long hadith, and it required a little bit of explanation. So this is what we wanted to touch upon regarding the hadith. We'll look briefly before we close at the work Ta'limul Muta'allim, Turuq al-Ta'allum, instruction of the student regarding the ways of learning. And there, if you can just remind me, where specifically had we reached? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So we'd looked at the various things that are obligatory for us to uphold, and amongst them is وَكَذَلِكَ فِي سَائِرِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And likewise, it is incumbent upon us to gain knowledge of all the traits of character. So the traits of character are, some of these are obligatory, right? Some of these are obligatory to have, right? And ما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فهو واجب, right? That which the obligation is not fulfilled without is itself obligatory. Right? That which the obligation is not fulfilled without is itself obligatory. Right? So what is obligatory is that one be characterized by those qualities that are obligatory to be characterized by. In our akhlaq, what is khuluq? Khuluq can refer to your character as a whole, and also it can refer to particulars of your character. Right? To particulars. So you have akhlaq, right? So khuluq, husnul khuluq, can be look at character as a whole, right? As a whole, you have good character, right? But, and in that sense, good character is a whole, right? Some person has good character, right? But you can also look at character as akhlaq, and they're made up of different qualities, each of which has the potential of being good or not good. And these are obligatory in the same way as prayer and fasting are obligatory. So he tells us, وَكَذَلِكَ, so أخلاق, if considered as a whole, your khuluq, your character, is your the way you are, your disposition, your inward disposition, that causes you to incline towards good inward states and good outward conduct. Right? And each khuluq, each particular trait, inward trait, is called hasan if it is pleasing to Allah and if it's a source of good in creation. وَكَذَلِكَ فِي سَائِرِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And likewise, in all traits of character, نَحْوَ الْجُودِ وَالْبُخْلِ, such as, some of which are obligatory to acquire, such as generosity, والبخل, and stinginess, which is blameworthy, والجبني والجرأة, and being جبن is being cowardly, and جرأة as being reckless, which is blameworthy because it's going beyond bravery, والتكبري والتواضع, and arrogance, which is blameworthy, and تواضع, which is humility, which is praiseworthy. It's one of the most distinguishing qualities of the believer. وَالْعِفَّةِ and dignified restraint. وَالْإِسْرَافِ and wastefulness, which is a blameworthy trait. That's more related to conduct, but it arises from an inward lack of concern. Right? وَالْتَقْتِيرِ and being excessively, you know, using things excessively little. Right? So in wudu, for example, taqtir is when you don't use enough water such that it is clearly washing. وغيرها. فإن الكبر والبخل والجبن والإسراف حرام. Because arrogance and stinginess and cowardliness and wastefulness are prohibited. There's an extent of each of these which are prohibited. ولا يمكن التحرز عنها إلا بعلمها. And it's not possible to avoid them except by knowing them. وعلمي ما يضادها. And knowledge of that which is opposite to them. فيفترض على كل إنسان علمها. So it is obligatory upon each person to have knowledge of them. And the ways of acquiring good character, there are different methods. And both both in terms of learning about them and in terms of the spiritual method of their acquisition. Because learning is about studying. These are the good characters. How do you acquire them? And it's one of the primary, you know, Al-Kattani, one of the great early masters of the spiritual path, said, At-tasawwufu kulluhu akhlaq. Spirituality is all akhlaq. فَمَنْ زَادَ عَلَيْكَ فِي الْخُلُقِ فَقَدْ زَادَ عَلَيْكَ فِي التَّصَوُّفِ. Whoever has better character than you is higher in their spiritual path than you are. نَسَأَلُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْعَافِيَةَ. وقد صنف السيد الإمام الأجل الشهيد ناصر الدين أبو القاسم كتابا في الأخلاق. So this great scholar, Nasir al-Din Abu al-Qasim, wrote a work on the science of good character. ونعم ما صنف. And what a great book that he authored. فيجب على كل مسلم حفظها. So it's necessary for every Muslim to memorize it. Right? To memorize it or to master this. Right, to master this. And character, of course, there's one part of knowledge, so one knows what these things are. Right? And that's very praiseworthy. And that's an area that one needs to gain practical knowledge of. What is generosity? One knows this is what generosity is, so that one can act accordingly. Right? And then how does one operationalize that? Right, that is part of spiritual training. How does one acquire the fada'il, and how does one rid oneself of the radha'il, and acquire the praiseworthy qualities and rid oneself of the blameworthy qualities? Right? And there's different spiritual methods for that. And that's one of the purposes of the spiritual path, of a sound spiritual path. Nasa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taysir. But knowledge is a key facilitating component, because even in spiritual seeking, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are those who know like those who know not? Right? So knowledge is not sufficient. And knowledge without action, as he's already mentioned, would be a case against you. Because you knew, so you have more. You should know better to turn to it. وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَمْ يَعْمَلًا مُعَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثَنِ. And a person of knowledge who acts not upon their knowledge will be punished before the worshippers of idols, says Ibn Raslan, the author of the Zubad in Shafi'i Fiqh. Right? He says, وَتَعَلَّمْ وَلَوْ بِعُشْرٍ كَالزَّكَاتِ تَنْجُو بِنُورِ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ ظُلُمَاتِ. Learn, even... And act upon it even with a tenth of what you know. فَعْمَلْ وَلَوْ بِعُشْرٍ. So act upon it, وَلَوْ بِعُشْرٍ, even with a tenth of what you know. Like zakat on crops. Because zakat, تَنْجُو بِنُورِ الْعِلْمِ. That's how, by the light of knowledge, you'll be saved from darknesses. وعالم بعلمه لم يعملا, and a person of knowledge who by their knowledge does not act, معذب من قبل عباد الوثن, will be punished before the worshippers of idols. But if one strives to act upon it, then whatever the spiritual method that one follows, and there's a number of ways, right, number of ways, but having the knowledge of these virtues, these akhlaq, so that one strives to acquire the pleasing ones and work against the displeasing ones, right, there, each of these, they, you know, the ulama say there, the acquisition of good character has an ilmi aspect and an amali aspect. The ilmi aspect is to know it. What is the virtue? How is it? What is its definition? What are its characteristics? Right? When is it tested, for example? Right? And an amali aspect. How does one acquire it? And the methods of acquisition are many, right? And also things are also known by their opposites. So to know about generosity, one also must know what is stinginess, what is prohibited stinginess, so that if one keeps away from stinginess, one will be closer to remaining of those who are of generosity. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى التحقيق وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US.